But if you think some food is unfit to eat, then they're not fit for you. And the second reading is from Corinthians. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. I'm in the right place. Sorry, put my bookmark in the wrong place. Chapter 3, chapter 4. Where's chapter 5 gone? Look, I had to grab a different Bible off the shelf, and it's never been opened before because mine has all the bookmarks falling out and the pages are sticking together. That's my excuse, and you're stuck with it. Right, chapter 5, verse 17. Here we go. Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The past is forgotten and everything is new. And the final reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. You were told that your foolish desires will destroy you and you must give up your old way of life with all its bad habits. Let the Spirit change your way of thinking and make you into a new person. You were created to be like God, and so you must please him and be truly holy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Karen. I'm just going to invite Steve. Just going to pray quickly for Steve before he shares with us. Yeah, Heavenly Father, thank you that your word is like a double-edged sword. We pray that it'll be life-giving and which is true and faithful. We pray, Lord, that as Steve shares your word, it'll speak to us in your Holy Spirit, in your mighty and wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Nice to be with you. So, Karen, the first reading was actually Romans 13, 14, slightly different. I'll read it for you. It says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." So slightly different to the food laws, but it's this concept of putting on Christ. Well, it's been a beautiful weekend, as you've noticed. It definitely seems like summer is over. Is that right? Yeah. It feels like the temperatures have come down a little bit. The highs have come down. It's colder in the morning. I get up. It's a little bit darker in the morning. And I know a few of us have been sick. I've had a cold all week. And it's funny because it seems like every time I come up to preach, the week before I've either had, I think in last year it was like COVID the week before, and this time I've got a bit of a cold. So I'm just kind of coming out of the end of that. So we're in this season now, right, of Lent. And we're actually only two more weeks until Easter. And Easter has come around so quickly. Usually it's kind of like mid to end of April. It's like the end of March. Now, I must confess, not a very good Anglican. I didn't know a lot of the details surrounding Lent. So I had to do a little bit of research and find out kind of what the details were about. And so I did some more digging. And it's this, the idea of Lent that we're in now is these 40 days of spiritual preparation kind of leading up to Easter, right? And the purpose of Lent is to pray, to fast, to kind of engage in this idea of self-examination as we kind of seek to draw closer to God and kind of improve our, perhaps our devotion to God. And the idea of 40 days is the mirroring of Jesus' temptation in the desert. And I think the 40 days, it doesn't include the Sundays, so it's 40 days, not including the Sundays, leading up to Easter. So we participate in this idea of self-denial, reflecting on Jesus' life in preparation for Holy Week and leading up into Easter. So the topic we've been discussing over the last several weeks, probably perhaps a month or so, is connected to Easter and this whole idea of Lent, where we're putting off the old and putting on the new. And so I think it's quite a good topic that Andrew has kind of picked up on here. And we had Bishop Justin speak about putting on compassion several weeks ago. Davis spoke about denying ourselves and taking up the cross. Julia spoke on clothing ourselves with humility. And Sam shared last week, sorry, I wasn't here for that because I wasn't well, but he talking about putting off our earthly desires, putting to death those earthly desires. So this morning, I'm going to try and bring that all together and talk about putting on Christ, clothing ourselves with Christ, putting on this new self, being this new creation in Christ. So, I'm a joiner, cabinet maker by trade, and I have to wear these pretty much all day, every day. So the earmuffs, there's about 10 guys of us that work in this factory, and we have machines running all the time, we have dust extraction running all the time, and I had an old pair of earmuffs. Now, when you put these earmuffs on, right, it cancels out the noise, but there's something else that always comes into your ears, and which is my own thoughts, my own thinking. And if you're like me, often those thoughts and that thinking is not always good, right? It's often destructive, discouraging thoughts and thoughts that are kind of not of Christ. And so I thought, well, how can I make the best of my time with my earmuffs on at work and not have my own thoughts kind of rattling around in my brain? And so I bought this new pair of earmuffs. And the cool thing about these, they're still, you know, grade 5, so they're good noise-cancelling earmuffs. But they also have this feature, this Bluetooth feature. And so I can pair it with my phone. So I thought, how about, like, in preparation for my speaking this morning, I can start listening to scriptures. I thought, oh, you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to the Bible, you can listen to audio, music, whatever. And so I thought, well, I'll get these, I'll stick it on, and I've been listening to some seminary teaching from, like, Regent College and different other seminaries just to help me get some thoughts going and preparing for this. And I've been going over these scriptures a bunch of times. And one thing that struck me about listening to these podcasts, listening to the scriptures, is just the gravity in which it is to share God's word, and the idea of, you know, we come up here and we're trying to share God's word, do it justice, and build each other up, build and encourage the church. And so I take that very seriously. So I'm trying to do justice by the scriptures this morning. So there are a few points I want to kind of highlight this morning from those readings, expand a little bit on this idea, firstly, about putting on the new self. So the idea of putting on, right, it alludes to activity, right? There's an action in doing this. It's not something passive, but there's activity. We're involved in this idea of putting on the new self. And it's in contrast to the idea of putting off the old self, like Sam spoke last week, putting off the flesh and its desires. The flesh being that sinful nature, our tendencies that are destructive, our desires that are destructive. And the idea of putting off is stopping some of those sinful habits. So the action or activity of putting on the new self is what Paul mentions in Romans 13, which is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. So we participate in this activity and process of being this new created being in Christ. Now, since the fall of man, if you actually have that slide up there, Rosemary. This is an artist named Ingrid Boma, I think is how you say it. She did these, I found this online, she did these 11 panels of the biblical story. Right from, I think it's that end, isn't it? Creation all the way into new creation, the heavens and the earth. And it's kind of our biblical story that we're going through. So since the fall of man in Genesis 3, which you can see right, it's probably, I think it might be the second panel perhaps. Yeah, perhaps the second panel there. There's this idea of this disintegration. That's one of these seminary biblical scholar words that I got. This idea that we've now kind of this disintegration in us all. And God in Jesus is going about reintegrating us, restoring us to this unified state, right? Within ourselves, reintegrated in ourselves, in our body, mind, and spirit. With God, reintegrating our relationship with God in ourselves. And also with each other, right? So this happens when we are found in Christ. Now, this phrase, in Christ, is an extremely important phrase. It's either in Christ, in Him, in the Lord, in the Beloved. Paul actually mentions this about 164 times, excuse me, in the New Testament, just probably actually in Paul's writings alone. So this idea of in Christ, I kind of thought of this analogy and how we can explain it. And it's connected to our identity, right? This is who we are. As Christians, we are in Christ. And understanding this concept is really important. Now, I must preface it, there's a bit of holy mystery involved in this concept of being in Christ, because there's the breadth and the depth of theology that it's really difficult to capture in an analogy in our limited language. So if you take a fish, right, and you stick it in a fish bowl filled with water, so the idea that we are the fish and the water is Christ. The fish essentially is in Christ, in the water, right? Where does the fish find its security? In the water, right? You take the fish out of the water, what happens? It dies, right? So the fish finds its nourishment, its security, its life in the water. So for us, we must consider ourselves in Christ that way. We find our life, our nourishment, our security, our identity in Christ. You take the fish out of the water, right? Try and get it to flap around on the ground. It's not really, it's trying to be something that it's not, right? It's not a fish, right? So it needs to be in the water. So as believers, our identity is found in Christ. And that's kind of where we get this idea of participating in the death and resurrection of Jesus at our salvation, right? So when Paul talks about we were dead and buried with Christ, and we've been risen with Him, right? That's all connected to us being in Christ. So who is this new self? How are we this new creation? So at our turning to Christ in repentance, whether it be a particular moment in time or over a period of time, we've become this new creation, this new creature, Paul says, literally a new creature. So when we come to faith, right, there are inward and there are outward transformations happening, right? The forgiveness of sin, the deliverance from that power of sin that sin had over us. There's indwelling Holy Spirit. God comes to dwell within us. And we have His power, His energy to live as this new created being. We have this power and energy to be this integrated person, human being. Now, there are outward changes too, right? Some of the behaviors perhaps that we had at conversion, done. God delivers that. There's perhaps deliverances from addictions. There's healing from trauma, healing from pain or grief, and the list goes on. Paul would say, behold, look, the new has come. You are a new creation in Christ, in true righteousness and holiness. Consider yourself that the old has gone and the new has come. And yet, we don't feel like new creations, all right, to be honest. Nor does our life sometimes reflect or look like we're this new created being. So why is that? And how might we live as this new created being? So we can have the next slide, Rosemary. So this is basically that painting again, all right? This age of tension that we live in now. So we have, so at the bottom, you can see this, it's kind of like a linear timeline, right? We have creation, we have the fall, which ushers in the present evil age, as Paul talks about in, what is it, in Galatians 1 and Titus 2. He says we're in this present evil age. And so all of biblical history, the story leading up, is pointing towards that, the coming of Christ, when God enters the room. And in the person of God, in person of God Jesus, right, he ushers in the kingdom of God. And yet this present evil age is still lurking in the background, right? So with the cross, with the inauguration of the kingdom of God, we have healings, we have deliverance, we have miracles, we have salvation, right? God's kingdom is here. And still there is death. There's still pain. There's still trauma. There's still grief. So Jesus begins this reintegration. And we talked, when Paul talks about the growing, the birth pangs, the growing pains, is that the kingdom of God is here, and but it's in this now. It's now, yes, but it's also not yet. You might have heard that, the now and the not yet. But let us not be surprised or downhearted or dismayed by this present evil age, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And at the end of the age, it'll all be dealt with. Kingdom's God will come in its fullness. This present evil age will stop, and the kingdom of God will be in its fullness. All right? Jesus will come, the resurrection of the dead. There'll be a new heavens and a new earth. Right? We're not floating around in the heaven and on the clouds. We're here on earth on a new, reintegrated, new creation, how it was supposed to be in the beginning. There is no more pain. There are no more tears. There is no more mourning. There is no more death. So let's address the how. How do we become this new creation? We are this. How do we walk in that? So Paul makes the statement in verse 23 of Ephesians about being renewed in the spirit of our minds. What on earth does that mean? It's this reintegration, the renewing of our minds as part of being this new creation in Christ. Right now, mental health has become more and more prominent, more talked about, where we take perhaps days off, you know, to have a mental health day. Now, I was going to make a joke, but Andrew's not here. I was going to say, well, back in Andrew's day, they never had that, but he's not here, so perhaps who else can I pick on? Right? So back, you know, not actually that long ago, even when I was begin working, there wasn't this idea of mental health wasn't actually a big deal as much, right? It wasn't talked about, it wasn't discussed, and I make light of it a little bit, but it's actually really important. And Paul wants to address this idea of being integrated people, human beings, because we've all experienced trauma in some way, whether a large, something heavy or something small. We've all experienced it. Now, there's some pretty clever people in the congregation. I'm wondering, actually, is there any neurologists here? Any people? No? I know there's some clever people. No? All right, that's cool. there's been a huge advancements in understanding how the brain works, and yet there is still much that scientists want to uncover and still don't know about the brain and the mind. Some of you may have heard, there's a South African lady called Dr. Caroline Leaf. Okay, good, you know this lady. Now, she's a communication pathologist and a neuroscientist. And she talks about this concept of neuroplasticity. in our brains, where we can rewire or actively rewire our brain or our renew our thinking. And this idea of neuroplasticity is the neural networks to change through growth or reorganization. Okay, and so I think, you know, Paul's talking pretty much about this idea of renewing our minds, and we're just now 2,000 years ago, later figuring out how this works. So she's a Christian, and she connects modern science with what Paul talks about here in Ephesians. She's the author of books. She has videos and YouTube videos you can watch. It's really good, and she explains the science better than I ever could. So we can actually rewire, renew our brains from the toxic, destructive thought patterns that have led to harmful, sinful behaviors. So we are creating, we can actually create new neurological pathways. The ones that are there, we've already created. We don't get those, we can't get rid of those, but we can create new ones. So, right, you know, I think when they've opened up brains, they're actually physical lines in your brain that you can see people have made from addiction and things like that. And it's about creating new pathways. You know, sometimes like you fall back into the rut and you go back on those pathways. But the idea is creating a new pathway, new neurological network. So I remember a period in my life, some 20-odd years ago, where every time I put my head on the pillow, I'd have these flood of kind of destructive, negative, discouraging thoughts that would enter my mind. You know, you put your head down, your mind's still going. And I was like, oh, this is not good. And it would still be there, and I'd just fall asleep. So after reading and listening to Caroline Leaf, I had this idea, okay, I need to stop this. This is not good. I had enough of that pattern of thinking, so I tried to practice this renewing of my mind thing, new patterns of thoughts. So I made a purpose. When I went to sleep, when those thoughts would enter my mind, I made a purpose of inviting the Holy Spirit, like, come and Holy Spirit, come and flood my mind. I'd actually say that to myself almost, or, you know, pray that, I should say, and then focus on Jesus, focus on God. And it would take many times a night, you know, I would think that and then I would kind of, those thoughts would come again. I'd think that and the thoughts would come again. And then after a period of time, I'd fall asleep. And this took many times a night, pretty much every night a week for several weeks, perhaps months. And then one night, I lay my head on the pillow and I realized those thoughts are not entering my head again. Actually, something more creative would enter my head. I would lie down as a furniture maker, cabinet maker. I'd dream or think about building things, creating new, you know, creating furniture and things like that. It's kind of bizarre, but that was the way I was thinking. So I think that's kind of a more what God would have us be, this new creation. So I highly encourage you to search out Caroline Leaf. She's really easy to understand, and she gives us actually some steps in how we can renew our minds in this way. So where are you at as this new creation? How can you be renewed in the spirit of your mind? Now, I must emphasize the key here is the power of the Holy Spirit. The activity of putting off the old self and putting on the new self is through the power and the indwelling Holy Spirit. We can't do it on just like struggling and striving, me just trying to think positive thoughts. It doesn't work like that. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. So at the moment, as a dad, you know, William is God's gift to me in this process of sanctification because he surely highlights my character flaws, which says more about me than it does about him. He's just being a three-year-old, obviously. You know, I love him to death, but he pushes my buttons, that's for sure. And I have a bit of a temper. And so one way that I'm praying is that God would, you know, I would take off my grumpy pants and put on the pants of patience, you know. And it takes the moment by moment calling on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come when he's not listening, and running around, won't get ready for bed. You know, give me patience, Lord. It's the moment by moment connecting with the Holy Spirit. Come and fill me with patience. And we get there. So in doing that, and renewing our minds and asking that Holy Spirit to dwell within us, moment by moment, we'll see the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. We'll see the love, the joy, the patience, kindness. It's also really important that this is not done in isolation, right? We don't just do it by ourselves. It's done in community, with each other, praying and ministering to each other. So find someone to talk to. Find someone to pray with. Ask them to fill you with the Spirit. Go on being filled with the Spirit, right? Paul talks about. So let's be honest and not pretend it's easy. It sure ain't easy. It takes time. It takes practice. But be assured there is abundant grace available to us. So we are this new creation. We are becoming this new creature. We are becoming this integrated human being through the renewing of our minds. And we do this through the power of the Holy Spirit in community. Okay. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the word. Thank you that Paul knew this, and we're only just figuring this out in science now. But thank you for science, and thank you that we can renew our minds. Lord, I pray that you would come and fill us with your Spirit. Help us to do this. Help us to do this in community, Lord. Help us to renew our minds. That we might be this integrated, whole human being that you called us to be, this new creation. Come, Holy Spirit. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
So just as the worship team makes their way up, so good. Thank you, Steve. We just want to create a bit of space. It's what we do as family, is create a bit of space for this, allow God to speak to us through this. Now, I have absolutely no idea on how you came in this morning or how you'd leave, but what I would love to invite you in as part of what we do here at All Saints Church and our family is that we create space for God to be able to pray for each other. And so however you're placed, you don't have to come up, but we will invite you. It could be that you tap someone next to you and say, hey, you know, could you pray for me? But we really want the space to be inviting, because like Steve said, we don't do this alone. We do this together. And more importantly, we do this with the Holy Spirit with God on our side. So just as we worship, if that is you, I would love to pray for you. And if you're just thinking, I'm just going to sit in this presence and just ask the Spirit to fill me right here, right now, then do that. I just want to invite you into that space. Is that okay? So let's stand as the worship team sings.